Blog Talk Radio.
My attic is full of pages, full of crazy cluttered spaces that you could not cross. My attic is full of bones and full of hope, of young emotions that just won't grow up. I keep hiding the keys in all these places even I can't find, hoping one day you'll find them all and I will let you see inside my attic. Inside this all the skin are paper thin illusions that I'm tougher than I. I'm guarded, castle walls from all the falls and breakup calls I never should have been. But don't go pushing too hard, I'm not so easy to manipulate. Numbers can't begin to calculate. My attic is up the stairs and waiting there on lonely nights. They keep me wide awake.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sweet Discussions on Blog Talk Radio, coming from All Poetry Group. Inside that group is Team of Voices, which is my lovely group of friends run by Deborah Lee, and I am lucky to be a part of that. Tonight, we are going to be having open poetry. Come on by, have your say, give us what you've got with a kick of pink. That song is My Attic, an American pop song released on April 27th, 2019 on the record label Pink Vivo. Pink is a fabulous rock star here in the United States and across the world. That particular song, when released on 4/27/2019 on YouTube, in the first first 13 weeks, was viewed 1.9 million times, had 13,000.3 likes, and had zero dislikes in the first 13 weeks on YouTube, which is fabulous. It's one of my favorite songs. Of course, it is a metaphor for the messy things that we have haunting our minds. And tonight I thought, if you didn't have something that you could bring on your own, maybe I'd give you a little kicker to be inspired by. That's why I threw up open poetry with a little pink. Maybe it could help clean out some of our closets and start the year off with maybe one little less baggage inside or hanging out around in our minds. So welcome to All Poetry, Blog Talk Radio, Team of Voices, and I'm Sweet. Woohoo! It's going to be a great night. Let's see, who do I have in my happy studio? I have Raconteur. Say hello, Rack. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. Hello.
Hello. And followed up by you, I have Sky Carcom. Hello, Sky. How are you?
Good. Hello. How are you?
I'm
good. Yes. Mm. And right on here is 727. I'm not quite sure who that is, but hello? No 727?
That's me. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Birdie, after Sky.
Oh, I've never seen you come up with 727. Which is weird because when I talk to you, I get in. Yeah, which is funny because now that I'm looking at your number, I'm like, oh, I know that number on my own personal phone, but I would never recognize up here. How dumb is that? Duh.
Well, there's a few of us with that area code.
I know, but all right. There's my favorite people are here with me. How wonderful is that? So I'm very excited. Yay! Happiness is happiness. I'm so happy. Oh, my heart is full.
Happy, joy.
I know. Happy, joy. Run and skimpy. I'm so happy. And then right behind you comes another one of my favorite peeps. Hello, Wayne Jett.
How are you doing tonight?
How are you tonight? I'm doing well.
It's been
really
hard today.
Have
a good day.
Oh, good. How have you been feeling?
I feel great. I'm well. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Good. Okay, well, keep the rocking and rolling to a minimum. Because I know, you know, everybody thinks they're doing good. And this thing just comes back and kicks them in the tiny butt. So keep the rocking and rolling to a nice, gentle way. It's hard on you. I know it is. My gentle souls, I got 2 out of 4 of you here. I've already had the cold bit. I've already kicked some butt here. So I want to make sure everybody's good. I've got Hatter that's feeling better. We're kind of coming back. I got Deb that's back a little teeny tiny bit. She's on the board tonight. She's got a poem on the show tonight. I'm very excited. Don't know if she's going to call in, but I know she's got a poem on my board, and that just makes me tingle with excitement. I'm so, so excited. So we're good. Sky, how are you with time tonight?
Actually, you're reading one, and I'm bad. And I'm like, I suppose I can plug it in, but it will be a slow charge. But I have a low battery, and I do want to get to bed, so I don't have much time.
Okay. Okay, baby girl. I know. I know what you're all about. I'm there for you. I will get you. I will get you, and I will get Steve, and then I will get Kay, and then my peeps is taken care of. So I'm good to go. All right. There you are. You are up. You're good.
Oh, thank you.
See, Deb's already up there.
I
have to promote my show. Here you go. Sorry.
Hmm?
I got really excited. I got excited because Deb promoted my show. Look at her go.
Oh, this was, I thought this kind of fit to your song prompt. It's called The Pages That Fold on the Edges of Smiles. When tresses fell from shoulders like blonde Gebra daisies, before blue roses set into an ever-changing moonrise of green and gray sills, I captured promises like dirt tucked beneath nails. I always chewed those edges, the thin line of dried mud, slowly filling hungry stomach with soil I could not digest. At first, it was the wordless, the hollow caverns built before absence had a name, burrows of hollow trails that soon became foundations of ant farm sandcastles, grains of swallowed lie. And when the two who were not ghosts settled in a war of bitter tactics, a custody of sunlit affections and rose-blue tears, that venom-stayed line suspicion like bricks, a mortar of separation for good measure. For when two sides of a garden's wilt with age, when browning petals are only structured dust crumbling between fingertips, the heart has no choice but to build its walls. no matter how much of itself is given to either side. And then there are the serpents with thieving hands and violent breath, the ones that cripple tongues with fear and fill small voices with cloth promises they know they will keep. In time, yes, there are windows built, perhaps even doors, where the darker haired and storming eyes learn how to visit and love both sides, perhaps even making a field of their own, watering primroses and planting seeds. And perhaps even still, those hollow caverns and stolen crumbs are quiet on the wind. But in those gardens of interchanging rooms are locks on each door. For even in the brightest days are dancing shadows, those ticks of anxiety, pages folded over with the edge of smiles, the glint of somber mistrust on green and gray sills. End poem.
Oh, my God, guys. This actually makes me cry. I mean, I don't think grown-ups ever really realize that when they battle so hard her child's soul, they just don't see the tears. Literally, I think a child's heart just starts to shrink and cry because they don't see that these people are trying to battle for the best of them. They just seem to think that they're the problem, that there's something they've done wrong for these adults to constantly be arguing and yelling or something's wrong, that they're the problem. I've seen a few custody battles where, you know, they don't understand what they did for these people to be so angry at each other. And this is just done in such a beautiful way. And you know, wow, you're metaphorically brilliant in this. A heart has no choice but to build its walls, no matter how much itself is given to either side. And I don't think children really don't give, regardless of how one adult sees the other adult, the child sees the good in both. Wow. This is like divorce through the eyes of the most innocent of all beings. I just love this. The ones that cripple tongues of fear. There's so many great lines in here, darling. Wow, this is just brilliant. Those ticks of anxiety, pages folded over on the edge of smiles. I always say, I don't know what to say when it comes to you, because when you write, it literally etches on my heart. And this is just another one of those beautiful etchings. Well done, my child. Just well done. That's why I keep you in my attic. Absolutely. Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, I said this is a lovely poem. You write your poetry in a very descriptive realism that lends emotion to the reader in a special way. I can sit and talk with contentment. This is the way you review the world. It's a clean, pure world that everyone should get to view from your eyes. I turn to a puddle of satisfaction when I hear you read. Just a great voice, a great poem, and a very good job on this poem right here. Love it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Rack, control your thoughts.
Yeah, you turned my brain into an ant form, and I actually enjoyed it. You know, I've used that something similar to saying, you know, ants crawling in my brain and things like that, but I never extended it to, you know, the little nooks and crannies and crevices like an ant would make when they're building their living spaces, you know, and to apply that to the idea of the way a child thinks was, Suki said, it was brilliant. The whole thing was touching and emotional.
Thank you, Rick.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
First, I do not read me after her because I will sound like a buffoon.
And having said that, this is just lovely. The language is delicate, but the emotion is raw and beautiful. And at first it was wordless, the hollow cavern built before absence had a name, which speaks of that youth that can't define its parameters, emotionally speaking, by words that haven't learned yet. But it seems you're just the same. And when you get down here, to when browning petals are only structured dust crumbling between fingertips, it's heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking because, you know, I don't know that there's anybody, maybe it is, you know, more girl specific, but I don't think that there's anybody who hasn't left flowers that have sentimental value, like let them like dry out or like in the base even and just like sit there until you just can't look at them because they're dead, and you go to move them and then it's just a bunch of like bits and pieces and brokenness and powder. And it's a very tactile thing. But here at the bottom, here it is. Those ticks of anxiety, pages folded over on the edge of smiles, like when you want to be happy, where you should be happy, where you have every right to be happy, but your unfortunate history says, well, last time, so I can't. You know, tentativeness, where the upper echelons of joy are suppressed for learned fear and pain, and it is heartbreaking. And, you know, that glint of somber mistrust on green and gray sills, because eyes are the windows of the soul, and yours are quite lovely in those hues, by the way. And it's a powerful piece, but it's delicate for being so powerful.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're very welcome.
Wow. That powerful. Well, I will not make you read after her, my dear. I am going to make Stephen read after
her. I'm sure it's really going
to... I don't think Stephen has a piece. He put one up for Kay, though, so I can put her up.
Oh, okay. Then I will have Kay read after her. All right.
She has a SoundCloud.
She has a SoundCloud. And thank you so much for that help. And dun, 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 dun. And here it goes. Boom, boom. I gotta get that on my page.
Clouds in the sky.
All right, cage bird. All right, the video. And let me press the button. And there we go. Here we go.
Okay. And still I rise, and this is my little dedication to those two, and I call this the caged bird released. He says, I am strong, I am strong, no shrink and violet, no mouse to put in the corner. I have seen the devil's breath countless times, still I rise. I have touched death's hand, it will shatter me, still I rise. I am tough, not a cookie on display, but a woman who knows her worth. Not many see that, understand the fire possessed, but still, I will rise. The fire and rain that has haunted my soul, hell's fire that wanted to send me to the ground. Like the unlikely phoenix, I will rise every time, as there is no other choice. This caged bird you think you see, sings her own plaintive song, unheard to the deaf of mind. This caged bird silently spreads her wings and soars, because of the faith he instills in her. To taste the fire she breathes, be intoxicated by her strength, to love the songstress who gives her all, even to the ones who have hurt her. she will rise, smile, because that is all that is known. Strange character of a songstress knows that a soul is beautiful if you exude unto others beauty, even when not in their presence, shine and true, if you only give unto others without expectations, or deception in your heart, wrapped up in kindness that does not really exist. The diamonds that shine between the meeting of my thighs shines, because I dance to the tune of love without even trying to give unto him of a heart that speaks fair, loving wildly and passionately. I hate to be called a goddess, but through the heart that knows true devotion, they get away with it, as your taste of kneeled love is the sweetest to taste. Through the lips of one that imbibes for the one whose heart beats only for her. The caged bird that was held hostage by others found her wings to soar to him, captivate him, and still, despite it all, refuse to be reduced and rise. In every respect, keep rising, because my rising in life, you never wanted to see. In any respect, watch me rise as I prove you wrong. The songstress in flight owns the hand dealt life, but not laid down and dying with them, but instead, rise in the face of ugliness that lies around me. Rise, and rise beautifully.
Well, there you go. There's a lesson for all of us. Be who you're going to be. And without any anyone telling you not to be. It's a beautiful dedication to Maya Angelou and to her poem, which is one I really enjoy too. But I like how she did this. I think that she did it really well, actually. I love the line, the diamonds that shine between the meat and my thigh, because I dance to the tune of love without even trying to give him unto him the heart that speaks fair, loving wildly and passionately. I hate to be called a goddess, but why not? This is very well done. Hey, I like the whole feel of it, the whole respect of it. I think you did a great job and a great tribute to Maya as well. I think you put your own spin on this, and I think it's just done very well with that touch of funk and spark and, being a real, that fire of being a woman, to being loved and using love and being a part of love and everything that there is about being a woman, being, just strong. And I really felt that. I thought it was brilliant. Very well done. Really, really enjoyed it. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love the quote that she wrote, too. Excuse me. It said, "I can be changed by what's happened to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it." And the empowerment in this, that rising, reminds me of the song Rise Up by Andrew Day, where it's, and I'll do it 1,000 times again, because you kind of do what needs doing. And it takes a lot of pain to get to the point where you've had enough and you can still stand on your own 2 feet. But when you get halfway through this, and it's the love, it's the emotional uplifting, it's the spiritual bond, it's all things physical and mental and tangible and intangible in that union that makes you strong, because you have a place to land should you fall, and so there's no fear. And you can stand up for yourself or for others, or just dare to believe that you can be everything you hoped you are. And it's a beautiful, beautiful testament to a relationship like that. And to find that strength within yourself, because it's not easy. When you've been beat down, especially when you have been where it's almost stripped from you, your confidence, your self-esteem, like you're treated like you don't have the right to be proud of yourself or believe in yourself, to work through a lifetime of that to a place where you are above it all. It's a beautiful transition. It's painful and it's hard, but what a beautiful place to be. And I had to say that it got me.
Absolutely. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a lovely poem she wrote. She got away from the abstract she usually does and just came out and laid it all on the line and the way she feels about things. I thought it was a good autobiography of her. She talks about how strong she is and her strengths and how she can rise up. This is no abstract, nothing abstract about this poem. It's just pure herself, and I think it's one of her best poems. It's a lovely, lovely poem. And I enjoyed it. The soundtrack was good, too.
Absolutely. And Rocky Tour.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It speaks to me of the way that you do have that love of that special person. It kind of nurtures you and enables you to bloom and you know, it's just one of those things like a symbiosis that you can draw upon that for strength. But, you know, it's not necessarily the only thing that's going to let her rise. Because no matter what, she's going to. So, you know, there's a definite strength that I got from it that's beautiful and empowering.
Absolutely. Let's see. Where do we go next?
Sky.
No, Sky's not here. I meant as far as poetry. How about Wayne?
Yes, did you have a sound card ready?
No. You ready, Wayne?
All right.
Wayne.
Yes. Play whatever you want to. It's kind of a similar
poem.
Hold on
a second. Hold on. We're not there yet.
Is that in the... 1 second. Yes. Okay. I'm slow. My bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
We're all ready.
So you want me to read it?
It's in.
Okay.
Look in there. Are you ready?
I am almost ready. Maybe if I can find you. I can't find me. I've got Sky.
I got it. You want me to
pick
it?
Zero. Yes, check please. Mine is a bat.
Here it goes.
Holy crap, you still can't
find me. This is called Soldiers Stood Sadly. The audience applauded as the Academy ambassador made announcement. But seven stricken sailors stood sadly in the shadows, as if in cement. The whiskered, wounded warriors wouldn't walk away from all, carrying the torn ticket tags that told the terrible tale they saw. Hard to hear highlights of how helpless hero held hill in haze, dirty, dehydrated, and delivering death to dawn for days. Commanded to carry camouflage canvas to cover crew's cuts, making marked military men march like metallic mental mutts. The proud patriot prisoners prayed proudly on pitted pathway. Each embroidered enlistment engaged enemy every day, fighting fiercely for family and friends, for fluted freedom, riding on rugged, rocky, rough roads, and resting in Rachi Room, never needing a name tag to know your neighbor at night, letting limp legal lawyers lead leaders into limelight. So the cushion crowd of clowns, civilians can cruelly clap, while the seven silent soldiers who served were mentally slapped. Ian?
Wow, Wayne.
So?
I am kind of blown away by this. This is pretty damn impressive. Just so that you know, I gotta say, wow, this is pretty good. It's hard hitting. It's done beautifully. Dirty, dehydrate, and delivering death at dawn for days.
Oh, man.
I'm very, very military orientated. I have a lot of family, a lot of things that are in there. So Christian Crowd of Clowns civilians can cruelly clap all the seven silent soldiers who serve or mentally slap. You know, I there's two schools of thought on that. And I was always taught that the reason men go to war is so that those seven clowns can do what they can do without being crucified.
Right.
You know, regardless of how much we hate it, regardless of how much we want to go and put my me personally want to go and personally just strangle them because they have no respect for who we are and what we stand for. The reason we go to war is so that those seven clowns can do what they can do without being brutally beaten, shot, killed or put to prison. Those clowns do make us go to war. And I love the fact that you put them in here because that's the whole reason we go. It's for those idiots. Because in 99% of countries that are not free, those are the people that are tortured, maimed, killed, or jailed. And that's why we fight so hard for our freedom, so that we can stand up and say, your flag is the biggest piece of shit on the planet. I can burn your flag. I can spit on your flag. I can do whatever. So men die so that others can say that. And you put that in there. And I think that's brave and beautiful and intelligent. And I love you for it. And this is absolutely stunning. And I'm going to go ahead and let Raconteur say his piece.
Yeah, you kind of stole the line. That's why I gave the dirty, dehydrated, delivering death at dawn. A beautiful alliteration throughout the whole piece, but you know that line that at me as well. Apparently, Sweepy and I have similar taste. Surprise, surprise. But really, the whole thing was you know patriotic, and you know I've always felt you know a little guilty that I never was called to service, but you know I have a lot of respect for those that were, and you know this is a beautiful statement about it, and it's really just very eloquent. Wayne, you did a great job with it, really.
Thank you, Rick. It's a great comment.
Pretty bird. Wayne, you always get me when you slow down and you're heartfelt, because I'm used to your fun Wayne, the one that always catches me off guard and gets me by surprise and makes me laugh out loud, and I appreciate you for that. But here you kind of pulled us into a sad truth that people like to just brush under the rug or ignore or not pay attention to, and it's heartbreaking, and it's true. Our soldiers, well, I guess soldiers everywhere, but you know, I'm kind of partial to our soldiers, do horrendous things, and you don't get over that. It changes who you are, It bonds you to people in the deepest ways, and it changes your perspective forever. And it's a lot of yourself to risk or to give for a freedom that so many don't even appreciate. And here you are with music and a wonderfully elegant read, and you read it in a way that I was reading your AN and you're like, it's probably too much alliteration, and in other cases it might be, but here it didn't feel like it. It didn't overpower anything because it was so wonderfully depicted, and it's a lot to put on there emotionally and with such vivid imagery, and so it kind of lulls you. It kind of holds your ear in softer tones. Great choice of background music too, because there are some stark images in here, and they were a little muted, which made them a little bit more palatable. With the gentleness with which you kind of approached your performance of it. And it was beautiful all around. It really was.
Any comments, guys? There's a comment.
And everybody say hello to AP.
Hey, AP.
Hi, sweet.
AP. Hello, everybody. What's up, AP?
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well.
I'm glad
made it to Friday afternoon. That's usually a good sign.
That's always a good time. And how is your world going? We've got Deb making comments on the board. I'm very excited about.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
Yes, I've been sharing some things
cool.
with Deb, and I've been sharing a couple of calls with Hatter. So would appear that things are returning to. The way of the world that we're used to, sweet, which is nuts.
I know. I'm very excited about that. Are you on a read and run kind of situation, or is it Friday afternoon?
I am a little, if that's okay. I'm sorry. It's been that sort of week, really.
Fine. Not a problem.
But, you know.
Kick back, throw a poem down, and read it to us in your gorgeous Aussie accent, and we'll be a happy camper here.
Well, I did go with the theme, sweet.
Oh,
so,
did you?
I did. So, this is in 3 hours flat, and it goes a little bit like this. I cleared out of my house in 3 hours flat and grabbed what I could from the stack, placed in a storage locker many boxes sat, more in my becalmed Subaru out back. Still forgot or left behind many clothes, all of my restaurant cookbook stash. Old records, for some reason she loathed, and I knew they'd be burnt into ash. Had great help along the way from friends and relatives who pitched in the things. Birthday here and there stuff contends, now the task to sort the wheat from the chaff rings. The three alternatives, a store, a bin or gift. Number of boxes down, most being binned. Interesting to reopen and give short shrift when much I saved, destined to be thinned. End poem.
Pretty good. I'm going to let you make the first comment. Ready, Bert?
You got to come off of mute.
Yes, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good there once.
Gosh darn it, I am here. I am here. That mute button gets me because I tend to not mute when I direct call, but I have to call on my phone because my Bluetooth won't connect to this little computer. And so I will get used to it eventually at some point. But, yeah, I was saying to myself, because there was nobody listening, that I tend to be a hoarder. And by hoarder, I don't mean like on that god-awful TV show that I cannot watch. What I mean is I have a hard time letting go of anything with sentimental value. And it could be ridiculous things. I have all of my concert tickets bugged because I'm that girl and things like that. And so the idea of having to pitch out all these things because you can't take them with you, and this is the end of this, and you're out of time and out of space and out of whatever the heartbreaking situation is. It's just like insult to injury. It's like not only am I leaving behind my life, I'm leaving behind everything before our life together, and because, you know, you have to weed out what is most valuable and move on with that. And it's elegant as always, but ooh, it got me in the gut because that's a hard thing to do. And I know that there are a lot of people that are a lot less cluttered than I am, even, you know, I'm horrible. But when I had my last kid and he was way too big for all his baby clothes, I had to go through and donate and gift and all that stuff. But all the ones that I have the favorite memories of, I have two boxes that I am waiting for grandchildren because I refuse to get rid of them. But that was a hard task for me too. So I could, at this, every line you read, the emotion behind it weighed very heavily on me because the idea of having to do that breaks me a little bit. So I really appreciated being pulled into that in 3 hours flat. In 3 hours, I can't go through my drawers in 3 hours, much less all myself.
Bracketeer, your thoughts?
Yeah, I appreciated this. You mentioned the cookbook stash. I've got one of those too. It's my mind went all over the place, but you know, more than anything, it latched onto the idea that, you know, the whole reason that we collect these things is because, you know, we've got memories and whatnot, but this is something tangible about it. There's reasons why we save these physical representations of it. And you know, to have to be able to weed through them is like, you know, prioritizing something that you shouldn't have to prioritize almost. I mean, it's like you want to say, why can't I? Why, you know, and it's that whole kicking and screaming, the declutter that you just, you know, I won't say can't embrace, but almost refuse to in a lot of ways, because, you know, you'll still have the memories of it. And it'll be like, you know, when you go looking for it later on, is when you realize, like, you know, why you saved it, you know, that attachment to it that you know, you almost can't let go of. You know, so it spoke to me of all this sentimentality of the things that we, you know, collect. And you know, I almost pictured a little clock, you know, the 3 hours wasn't an arbitrary thing. Someone said, you can only keep what you can collect in 3 hours, you know. It's like, you know, how do you go through it in that time? Like Pretty Bird said, you know, and 3 hours is, you know, a goal that somebody set on you. It felt like a weight almost that you had to get through to pick, cherry pick what you wanted to keep. And, you know, there was an unfairness to that thought to me. You know, it because, you know, well, you might as well put it out of my memory too if you're going to take it away from me. It just bothers me. So I appreciated that poem. I felt the irritation of getting rid of the stuff. Not much, though.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
And Wayne.
Yes, never has cleaned out old storage boxes of old metal building. It sounds so wonderful. I like the first stanza where he said, I like more in my became Sabru out back. I could have Sabru brought in there. That's pretty good. And at the end of your idea, your collection had to be thinned out quite a bit because it's gotten so large. And it's always fun looking at stuff you stored up for, especially after 10 or 20 years, you look at the stuff, and it's amazing how you bring back the memories, and then you read about how you felt then at that time. I got three file cabinets full of the old memorabilia and drawings. Everything I do, I store and keep, and so it's not worth nothing. But sometimes you look back at it, and it just it's amazing. It sort of embarrasses me, some of the stuff I say, because of the way I was thinking at the time. But this is a great, great poem about the memorabilia, and brought a lot of memories to me. So that's how I store about everything I ever do. I write down everything, and I store it. And so my viewpoint changes some over the years. So it's kind of embarrassing some of it is. But this is a great, great job on this poem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Ann. Cheers.
Yeah, AP, I
I wanted everyone to comment first before I commented, because this is my very, very touch me, relatable thing that I have felt towards you and I, our sweet and dour life together. I left my home and said one very thing. Take everything, everything. I wanted nothing. And I walked away.
Hmm.
Now you would think that that would be okay. Not one picture, not a piece of clothing did I want. Hmm. I was invited back in and took some clothes and took some pictures and things like that. And you being a business person, I thought you'd appreciate this story. I was at a certain business, and I was doing some teaching, and I was doing class. And in the middle of this class, this person stands up and goes, "Oh, my God, it's you." And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand exactly." And I'm just like, "Okay, we'll talk later." Lo and behold, this person proceeds to tell me, "I've walked through your home. I have your coat collection. I have this of yours, and I have this of yours. Yes, I guess my certain person that I had been married to found out where I was going to work and had gone to my employer and place of employment and had invited a group of people to get an open house and said, take what you want. My ex-wife is this, this, and this, and I hate her, and I'm just going to let you guys take what you want." So when I did enter into that place and started teaching classes and doing what I had to do and doing training and development and everything like that, these people were like, "Oh my God, I have your evening gown, and I have this, and I have this, and I have your earrings, and I have..." So,
wow.
So there you go. Sometimes your true gifts end up where you never know where you're going to find them. So, at least you got to go through some of your things.
Well, I did. I had the 3 hours.
Good.
I've never actually been allowed back in the house to sleep. So, anything I grabbed, and anything I didn't, I found out later, didn't make it through the bonfire.
Well, she burned herself. Okay, that's nice. Mine was just giving away, but at least, you know, some people went to Good News because...
Oh, no,
I
no.
Nothing
was given away. It was like, you know, it was like Kristallnacht, you know, whether it was books or records or clothes or whatever. It just went into one great big pile and it was burnt, never to be seen again.
Oh, my God. Mine was handed out to a group of people that needed it more than I did, obviously, and that's fine. But,
well, obviously.
It was quite interesting.
Yeah.
They were very kind to offer it back, and I'm like, no, thank you. I obviously don't need it, but it was quite a trip. Yeah, the things that people do to you. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very relatable, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
mean,
I love that.
And I found out all about it when, because I was asked in the divorce for a whole heap of records, and I said, well, look, I don't have them. They're sitting in the filing cabinet in the study. And then there was silence for like weeks until the message came back that, you know, we had both agreed that those records could be destroyed.
Oh, nice. It just amazes me that, you know, it's like, wow, really? But I did agree to not take anything, so, you know, you can have it all.
Oh,
right.
No,
it
there was no
out.
Discussion about it. There was... I found out it was within a couple of weeks of when I left, everything had been anything that could be burnt was.
Yeah, no, I was like, bye-bye. Don't ever talk to me again. And it still took them 3 years to get away. So, but yeah, I like your soul. I really do. It's very relatable for some. So,
Thank you.
Creeper, you might have had a problem with that. Oh, that's great. All right. So, thank you, AP. Thanks for coming by. Stay safe, life.
Pleasure.
Oh, thank you. So, where are we going next?
Good question, but I will disappear, and I'm glad it struck a chord. Sweet. I didn't think it would strike a chord like that, but I'm glad it did.
So,
yes. Right. Back to my Friday afternoon. Enjoy, sweet. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day,
AP. Talk soon. Thank you. Okay, cheers.
Better AP.
Cheers.
That'd be nice, too. Okay, see everybody.
Yeah. Bye. No. All right. Let's find something happy now. Good Lord. Yeah. Not to air dirty laundry, but I thought that was funny. Hey, you guys are quiet tonight. Why is so quiet?
Because Don Henley
isn't here. I'm going to start talking about the fart girl if I have to.
Oh, my Lord.
Wayne, what do you think about the fart girl?
Oh,
who?
What
girl?
The fart
girl. What girl? I don't know her.
The fart girl.
Oh, the fart girl.
Would you pay $1,000?
Hey,
there's a young lady right now who's all the rage because she's selling her fart. The fart girl.
How much you go?
Selling farts.
$1,000
a jar.
How about one? She's a little much.
I mean, yeah. She's selling $1,000 a jar. But she hurt herself really bad. She got really sick because she was over farting. She was trying to make too much money. She got a little too greedy. So...
It's hard to fart. It's hard to fart on demand.
Well, all the cabbage juice that she was drinking and all the beans that she was eating got her really sick.
It's not the same if you can't feel the wind in your hair.
That's right.
Oh, good God.
How can you prove that they're her farts, not her boyfriend's?
I don't know. Somehow they have quality control in this company.
They probably got office staff where everybody takes turns farting and they get more jars out.
That's right.
Well,
I need a certificate of authenticity. I received my jar and I don't believe it's your fart. I need you to prove
they
it.
They have certificates of office. They do.
That's right.
It's a whole company.
What is this world coming to?
And you know the Friday night parts are
I want that job. I want to be the one to issue the certificate that says that this is a genuine fart from Fart Girl.
And you know the Friday night parts are a lot different than the Monday night parts.
Guy? Because this would have been perfect for her fart show.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, apparently she was on some reality romance TV show that I've never watched in my life. So she's a pretty girl, and she is, you know, D-list famous, I guess. I don't know. I never saw her. And so there you go, $1,000 per, and she was bringing home a stupid amount of money. And my question is, how do you know? I mean, if you spend $1,000 for this little noxious vial of gas, I mean, it's literally gone the second you open it. And if it wasn't a particularly potent catch, then it's not going to smell like a whole hell of a lot. And what do you do? Be like, listen, okay, it's not worth my $1,000. Your fart is crap. And I mean, what are you going to do at that point? You feel me? Because if you open it to utilize it for whatever needs you bought it, I mean, it's literally like a 5-second shot, and then you're done. And
you need a stroke.
Not all. Yeah, well, not all. Not it's not like it's a concentrated thing. It's just. Well, here's the thing. I don't care what you are using to funnel your gas into this little space of this jar. Unless you have somebody catching them and vacuum sealing them instantaneously, it's going to be half gone or all gone. You can't really catch it. I mean, you have to contort yourself in weird ways to go and do what you've got to do and cork that thing up just so that it can have something in there that will remotely resemble what it originated as. Unless, seriously, you've got people there wanting to, you know, catch it for you. And what is that like? I mean, how is that a business? How is that a thing? This world is broken.
If it makes money, it's a business.
Not for nothing. If I thought I can sell my farts for $1,000, I'd be eating beans too.
Yeah, well, that's probably why
I wouldn't be advertising it all over the place.
Well, was she? I mean, did you know about it until she got sick and the whole world, the whole internet went nuts? And said, oh,
I didn't know about it at all.
So
I know
about
it because you people are broken. I was like, I do not keep up with pop culture. Because, you know, if it's coming to this, I don't know that I want to anymore. It's so bad.
Fart culture.
Oh, Lord, help me. Like, is there, like, a whole, like, you know, dark web, like underground, like, thing for these things? You know, like has this been a thing for a long time and I have just been blissfully unaware?
Maybe they have fart parties.
Yes.
Fart parties, my Lord.
Yeah.
Don't let my kids hear you because they'll think that's a thing. I'll be doomed.
Okay, I actually had a science teacher cautioning that, you know, if you try and light your farts, to make sure you wear your underwear because of, you know, the flame can actually catch fire to the hair on your behind.
It makes a hell of a blast too. I've seen it.
Oh my
god. A hell of a blast.
Apparently, if you do it in the bathtub, you can make it run around the inside of the bathtub.
Okay. Now I just went. Okay. We need to get back to my poetry now.
See what you did, it's all your fault.
I asked a little conversation, and it went way out into I don't know. I just keep saying to freaking Johnny Cash, where you are.
OMG.
Okay. I just want to play
well,
Johnny
you
Cash
know,
now.
Ask and you shall receive.
Oh, God. That's just hilarious. Okay. Who else do I have on my board here? Let's do Raconteur.
Ooh.
I went with Pink.
Oh, my God, that's mine. I like Pink.
Oh. Pink is my favorite color.
Hola,
and
Frank.
You are on the board.
All right. I see Raconteur.
Cherished by Raconteur. You had no intention of making it easy, offering little hope to an arrogant smartass seeking your affection. The harder you tried to prove that you were broken, the more certain I was I'd uncovered perfection. I don't bother with hellos that only lead to contentious goodbyes, accumulating salinated droplets that fall indiscriminately from once placid eyes. My bones crack and pop like a geriatric clock as I wander the wreckage of a life come undone, searching for that which was once beautiful, but now only serves to blot out the sun. Convinced there will come a moment to justify the pain, somehow reigniting that spark, nurturing it gently to a roaring flame. Hanging on to what once was, despite knowing things will never be the same. Even if we can't repair the devastation, trying will never be in vain. Our future may be written in the stars, but it's our choice to walk together. Tell me you want me by your side, and it's there I will remain forever. End poem.
I want you by my side forever. Oh, wait, that's just a line in your poem. Beautiful. I really like this. Well written, as always. And let me see. I'm trying to find my line. Mr. Raconteur. My bones crack and pop like a geriatric clock as I wander the wreckage of life come undone, making time searching for which was once beautiful, but now only serves to blot out the sun. I just love the way you write. We can blot out the sun. Let me tell you, I've seen some ugly faces. You just, ugh, please, blind me, because that is just too painful to look at. But you, beautiful. All right. Mr. Wayne, your thoughts, please.
Yes, this is another one of his broken-hearted love poems. And that ex of yours must be hard to get over. Now, I miss my ex, too, but until I see her picture, I got a picture in there in one room. I just walk in and look at a picture, and I don't miss it no more. So you have to put a picture of her up so you can look at it and say, no, you're in the other room like I do. But I like the poem. You said, I like my bones crack and pop like a generic clock. That's pretty good line there. And this is a pretty good poem, and you got such a romantic way you read your poems. It seems like no woman would ever leave you. They want to just sit here you read all the time. You're so hot. So it's a great poem there. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Wayne.
And Playbird, your thoughts?
She thinks she can find the mute button.
We'll just wait. Again, I will learn, I promise. You know what it is? The screen goes dark, the little thing isn't looking at me, and so it is out of my mind, and I'm an idiot. But, okay, what I said was, you kill me, you know that, since you didn't hear it the first time, because I don't know how to touch my screen. Convinced there will come a moment to justify the pain, somehow reigniting that spark, hanging on to what once was, despite knowing we'll never be the same. And that breaks me in ways that you are well aware of. It breaks me to, like, breaks down the fibers of my being into mush and time wasted, or, that whole trying will never be in vain, the hope that it's not wasted, the hope that it's worth it, the hope that if given enough time, we can grow newer and stronger bonds, and the pain will be far enough in the distance where it's not sore anymore. But the transition from point A to point B kills me. It is a hard thing to live through. It's a hard thing to feel. It's a hard, long, and slow torture that we hope for that forever. And that pain, even if it can't be repaired, is worth the possibility that it can. But it is a hard place to be. And it makes you question everything. And you kill me. And you probably also need to put this one in the Hurt Locker, because you can put it in more than one list, just because there's a lot of pain there, mister. with me telling you how to organize your stuff.
Yes, right.
And, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Preberg, you're up next. Oh. Sure, don't give me 2 seconds to compose myself, but it's fine.
Okay, well, you've got plenty of time. You can talk about anything. Talk about, hey, I got to go get my poem.
Listen, look what happened last time with your talking.
You know, wait a minute, I can't find it. Oh, let me see where it's at. Oh, wait, maybe I'll get it on the board. Maybe, well, like, give me a second. Okay, I can keep talking because you're composed.
OMG, so I put my poem up.
Okay, so you're composed now?
Well, you know, once you got a reference, the unfortunateness of the last conversation, you kind of get over some stuff, so we're good.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, tonight is something else. Let me tell you what, you cracked me up, woman. All right.
I know.
This is I Am Not Needy. So tell me you love me anyway. And it goes like this. Oh, wait. Crap, I need glasses.
I love you anyway.
Or I can just, oh, thank you. Okay, I'm just going to stick my face in close because I can't reach my glasses. It goes like this. Peeled like a can of sardines, twisted open with a key. Looking for your name tattooed under my skin, I found it beneath the last strip flayed, etched into the ribs over my heart. Where the bone won't stop bleeding. Tell me I'm so beautiful through 7 layers of raw and naked. But I've heard enough lies in your silence to wish I never heard your voice. Maybe time will sand it smooth, or the bleeding will stop in the cool air. Beauty is only real when it was perceived. Hence the hell that holds more magic. I can fake pretty in a smile, but you can't stomach my truth enough to look me in the eye. Maybe you can't stomach what you've done to me. I can't stand beside me either. I want more. But that would make me less. And poem.
Oh, wow. Was that there, Mr. and Mrs. I Gotta Compose Myself? Let me compose myself after you read that. I can fake a pretty in a smile, but you can't stomach my truth enough to look me in the eye. Maybe you can't stomach what you've done to me. I can't stand the sight of you either. I want more, but that would make me less. Damn, how do you do this? How do you do it? Every time you just make me go, and I try to get the breath. I tell you what. I mean, just your imagery, like, peeled like a can of sardines. Tell me I'm still beautiful through 7 layers of raw and naked. Oh, I love your line, but I love the essence of this. Like, you know what you did, I know what I did, but we're both going to fake it, and you're just going to tell me I'm beautiful, and we're not going to talk about it. Because you know what? I want more of you, but because I do. I'm not gonna, it is what it is. But that, if I want more, then that makes me less of who I am. So just don't look me in the eye. I love the whole oof of it. Because I've been there. Once beheld, it's no magic. I just, there's, yeah, okay, I can talk. I can use words. I am a writer. But yeah, that's just what this is. Very good. I'm weighing your thoughts on this.
Yes, this is lovely and sad at the same time. What has that beast done to my pretty bird? I like the line that seems the most public is that I've heard enough of your lies and silence but to wish never to hear your voice. That is bad. But this is a poem, tell poem about the love that you once had that is now missing. And then you know the way you get it back, and you wouldn't want it back if you get it, but you still miss the way it was. But this is a great poem. I just want to give you a big hug, but I wanted, if I could find you, I'd give you a big hug right now. Great job on the poem.
Thank you. And rock and tour.
Yeah, talk about emotional walls. You know, you conjure up that feeling of, you know, you know how the person feels, but, you know, they just don't express it. And you kind of need to hear it every once in a while. It's really, you know, it's a sad thought, because, you know, you almost can't imagine not making those little gestures, those things that betray how you really feel and stuff and what's going on. You know, the vulnerability, you know. I mean, that's all tucked away in here behind that smile that you can feel. Yeah. Compose yourself, girl.
Yeah, thanks. Compose yourself. It's hard to love somebody who broke you a little bit, you know? Well, it's easy to love them, but it's hard to not hate yourself in the process. So who is up next, please? I don't know. Frank. We'll do Frank. He's on the board. So hello, Frank. Let's do you.
Can I be frank with you?
I'd be frank with you. Frank it, baby. And Frank is on the board, and he's in the studio. All right, here we go, Frank.
Be gone, the tormentor of my intractable past, as the numinous winds have not sung my dirge, before subtle winds of quiet and sudden and vast, blinding me with the old tempest and scourge. The piteous days of my lament funnels I see beyond my plutonian chamber, now haunted by the pallid spectres of nightmares I can't flee, and the contempt of the craven in me daunted. Plaintive voices silence quickly my fate insanity, for I endure the desuetude of a horrid dissolution first, and the doors to Elysium close upon a drear reality, a transient respite of my laden guilt to curse. Therefore, I shall linger in a pool of deep sorrow, drowning in the quaff of my invisible anguish, till the seraphim sing my pean in the morrow, and my soul from behind, my shadow, I relinquish. Alack, the radiant maidens of the heavens I implore, when the tempest roars of a soul's hoary abode, whose unbearable echoes I attempt then to ignore, casting them to the bottomless pit, so cold. Hark, my strident echoes reverberating my demise, taunting the fate of my faltering soul beguiled, in the forlorn vestige of the nepenthe I despise, with the spectral breath of my spirit forever exiled, the vestige of my nepenthe. End of poem.
Well, nice read, Frank. Nice poem. I really enjoyed this one. Of the heavens I implore, when the tempest roars or souls hoary and bored, whose unburial echoes I attempt to ignore, casting them out into the bottomless pit so cold. You know, he just really has this dark and, brutish force that he's bringing out. And I really kind of can feel that as he reads and as he writes, and, you know, his faltering soul. And he really has come along the way with this very his tempest and his everything that he is. I just really enjoying some of his darker rites, and he's really kind of going that pendulum. Nightmares I can't see, and what is Therefore I shall linger in the pale of death, sorrow, drowning. And what is the other one I really like? I read the bottom of Fit So Cold. So yeah, I mean, he just kind of this graphic imagery, and it just really brings you into that poem. Really well done, Frank. I really enjoyed it. And Rocky Horror, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say the drowning in a quaff of my infinite sorrow, because that was the line that really grabbed me. But the anguish in this was very evident, like you said. Beautifully dark, you know, and somber at the same time, you know. Sometimes, you know, he likes to be dramatic, and he does the laugh. I was so glad that he didn't do that in this poem. But, you know, I don't know. I really enjoyed the read, like you said, too. This was cool. You know, it really had that feel to it of just being the anguish, I guess, is the part that keeps coming to mind. He's got words that evoke those the darkness and complement the whole tone of the poem. Even the mentions in the, I guess it was around the beginning quarter, when he says seraphim, he's talking about the angels, but he goes straight to hell with that afterwards. And in the end, he's talking about visages, and I mean, it's just wonderful language that just totally evoked the image and the emotion that he was going for. It was wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. And I believe Wayne is out fighting a cat right now.
He's catatonic.
I know. And I think I am going to be the next one that I'll read, if that is okay with my fans and my lovely peeps. So we're going to go do
I'm
that.
I'm not just a giant fan. I'm an air conditioner.
Oh, good. Mine is my prompt, The Attic. It's called Clutter. It's a little different. Hopefully it makes some kind of sense. I'm not quite sure, but we'll see how it goes. Not a problem, Frank. I really enjoyed it. Let's go. So this is Clutter. Dust bunnies and corners nibble on carrots of lost diamonds. Shiny trinkets of lovers left in fairy tale illusions lost in time. When little girls dream of Robin Hoods and Ruby Slipper Goods. Dollhouse sits in glorious style, a Scarlett O'Hara memory, where pretentious petite furniture creates rooms of past era dreams, a place that had libraries for books and children rode ponies. Chantilly lace and grandma's pearls hung on faceless mannequins. Yellowed wedding dress worn, thrice tattered, eaten through by mice. Regurgitating the nightmares of white glove polite society feminism. Rocking chair splinters into varicose veins, stabbing unresolved pain. Weary fighting sleepless nights, fearing the grim reaper's grave. Clearing the clutter left dripping into the gray matter of my brain. End poem. And there you go.
I do so enjoy your words, Kate. You know, from the beginning, you start with the dust bunny, so it gives us a feel, and you go through nibbling on carrots of lost diamonds, shiny trinkets of lovers left in fairy tale illusions, lost in time. How beautiful is that? And you go into dollhouses that
for some reason, as you describe the rooms and the wedding dresses and all of these things that are going through there, it reminds me of Mommy Dearest, like the house, that grand house with all the things, but like the shrunken miniature with all the stuff, you know, where everything fits in there. And that gentle lace and grandma's pearls hanging on a faceless mannequin. But here, in the last verse, where you go through time, as that rocking chair splinters into varicose veins, and fearing the green, grave, fearing the clutter left dripping in the gray matter of my brain. And here is the thing, you know, people think that as you age, and I mean, are fully aged, that a wee bit of dementia is a bad thing because you can't remember stuff. But when the things that you remember most are what carved you out of a whole person and left you a little hollow and a little broken, where the grand loves possibly have passed and the not-so-grand loves kind of bore into the fibers of your being like termites. It's a hard place to be if now you have all this time to sit there and go through all the things of all the what ifs or what words or what could have been or what might have been or how many things did I perceive wrong, and you know, maybe that one was my, you know, the greatest love, or maybe I didn't love that one enough, or maybe all of these things that are sitting there tumbling over each other like clothes in the dryer as you're rocking in that chair, wondering how much it's going to hurt just to stand up and change a view or a perspective, or maybe there's a certain comfort there, like that chair, and that it's all the old things that you know can't hurt you anew, they just hurt you still. And it's kind of profound and lovely. So, Rack, what are your thoughts on this mental clutter?
I almost got a sense of relief at the formality of it, at the fire hanger, almost, you know, because you brought up Mommy Dearest. You know, to go through all that and jump that stuff and deal with it and deal with it and deal with it, you know, to not have to at some point, I don't know, for me, I think, you know, the finality of it just, you know, feels like a relief, you know. But living your life and getting to that point, you know, it turns into a daily struggle, and it almost makes you not so much fear it as look, I won't say look forward to it, but, you know, I don't know how to put it. It's very, very contemplative, very, very haunting. You know, the fact that you open up, you know, as a child and kind of go through into that point, the rocking chair, you know, that progression, you know, in brevity that you gave us, you know, was also very elegant. The whole piece is beautiful.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's kind of awesome.
All right. Oh, thank you. All right. So, let's see. There we are. Right this moment. Okay. All right. How about
please.
We do Gerald Green? Okay. And he has a SoundCloud or a recording, and he is on the board. All right.
Mm-hmm. My Attic, written and read by Gerald Green. I cannot leave this moldy house, lest someone enter unobserved. What's upstairs must be hidden and protected from a glance or a peering eye. The dust of decades can't compare to paper-thin illusions meant to cover and distort like circus mirrors on a Friday night. Only if you're brave will you withstand the cold and creaky stairs, the peeling paper, misting smell, and bones that rattle in the night. I'll tell you what you want to know of death and torture, flowing blood. Behind locked doors are many things unknown to all but me. But only if you persevere will you be able then to know my soul and inner self that seeks the purity and light of day. Those skeletons must stay inside, beyond the view of weakness and the meek, demanding what cannot be given, making right of every wrong. Remorse attacks relentlessly, won't let me sleep, haunts with its haughty force, with taunts and jeers from silent graves. So come inside and stay with me. Share this fortress and its curse, and help me find the missing keys to clear the attic with a sacred oath and poem.
Oh, wow. That's all I can say is wow. 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 First off, thank you, Gerald. I applaud you. I think this is absolutely beautiful. I would love to pick out my favorite stanza because I can't, because I think it's great. I think you nailed this prompt unbelievably. The last stanza blew me away. So come inside and stay with me, share this fortress and its curse, and help me find the missing key to clear the attic with a sacred oath. The attic is a very unique place to be, whether it be our minds or actually the one above us. Attics are frightening. Attics are all our secrets locked away. God help us if we ever let anyone in 100%. So that's why we have our brains to ourselves. Behind locked doors, there are many things unknown to all but me. That is still very true. We definitely lock ourselves away sometimes in our minds. They are the walls that build us. We only let so many people in. And, you know, we never let anybody all in. The only person that's all in is ourselves. Thank goodness, because if somebody could read my mind, I don't know if I could walk the streets outside. They might lock me up and go, huh, no, I heard what she thought. Brilliantly done, masterfully done, as always. Thank you for bringing this to my show. I truly appreciate you. Rakitor, what are your thoughts?
thoughts about Jeff's attic mind? It's a clever corollary, you know. The part of the song itself, you know, kind of goes there too. I like the book very much. The idea about the locked doors, you know, it kind of makes you think a little, you know, deeper and reflecting on that too, in the sense of sometimes we don't even know ourselves, you know, as much as we delve inside our minds, you know, sometimes to figure out meaning and mistakes, but you know, only like in the fringes even. So think of all kinds of things like that about, you know, what goes on in my rattled brain. Well done, Joey.
Absolutely. And pretty bird, your thoughts?
Oh, so many things, so many things. I love that it's metaphorically brilliant and consistent. And so it's almost a horror story, almost like he's going to, like, chop you to bits, but no, not really. There is, where is it? Only if, no, that's not the one. There's so many. Holy crap, where was it? Ah, here. But only if you persevere will you be able then to, no, that's not the one. Where is it? That's the one in between those two. Geez, the week I can read. I'll tell you what you want to know. Of death and torture, flowing blood, and behind that forge are many things unknown to all but me. And that took me right back to Wayne's poem, to the horrors of war and things that you just don't want to think of now that you're home. Those things that stay hidden, those things that if you knew what I had to do, maybe you just don't want to know me, or maybe you would love me less, or I'm not who you think I am, I'm not who you thought I was, and those things that you keep locked away that you don't want to see but can't help it because they keep on flashing in your face. And this is all haunted and kind of like, you know, the haunted house down the street where nobody goes, but broken. It's and there's a longing in it. There is, but only if you persevere will you be able then to know my soul, the inner self that seeks a purity in the light of day, that will you love me anyway, you know, that if I show it to you, just don't leave. And it breaks my heart. And, you know, those skeletons must stay inside beyond the view of the weak, of the weakness and the meek. And because most people of lesser fortitude can't take it. People don't want to know. It's like everybody who asks you, hey, how are you doing? You answer fine because they really don't want to know. And they walk away knowing full well your mascara is dripping down your face. You look a hot mess. You're going through some stuff. But they will run as fast as they can as soon as you say fine, even though they know you're not, because they really just don't want to know. It's just polite, you know, conversation. And it just breaks my heart. There were a lot of poems tonight that are just getting to me. But this is delightful in its creepy, creepy blood and guts metaphor, and its haunted house, you know, this side of the possibility of a slasher film, which, you know, kind of love that darkness, and to equate that with the annals of your mind, though, is excruciating and tortured and brilliant at the same time.
Absolutely. All right. How about Pretty Bird, you read We Are All Gonzo.
Oh, okay. I could do that, I think. We'll see how my eyes are and what font he puts it in. Okay, where is it? Here we go. I'm kind of sad that there's no audio. You kind of get used to the production, you know? But fine, I'll read it.
No.
I won't be all fanciful and whatnot, but there are words I can read. And having said that, I'll probably butcher it, so I hope I don't. Of course, you use tiny fonts like me. Okay. This is High Rise Butterflies by We Are All Gonzo. Promises kept create celestial... Already butchered it. Rewind. Promises kept create celestial light. Secrets encourage the black sky. God is the rain, gifting all things life. Sequential, reverential, surprise. Each moment held true, creating new bonds, poetic prose, protracting platonic delight. Electrons of words, neutronium song, following questions of chaotic insight. Promises kept create celestial light. Shadows amongst mindless chatter,
staying emotions knee-deep in lie, undoubtedly becoming one's master, crafting cancerous grief gratified, secret encouraged with my sighs. Atmospheric angels accenting airways, nourishing nature's altruistic appetite, silky silhouettes around sunset ablaze, Virgil's personal infernal delight. God is the rain gifting all things life. Cosmic background interfering, matter retrofitted, contorted, concise, repeating life in a similar sequence, kaleidoscopic viewing, flat circular eyes, sequential, reverential, surprise, and pause.
Wow. You know, I don't know if you've ever read Agandro's little thing that he writes, but I love his little side line where it says, it's a bunch of words that mean something, apparently. So, yeah, I like that. I love your bunch of words that mean something, apparently. Because I think this is gorgeous. Atmospheric angels, ascending airways, nourishing nature's altruistic appetite, silky silhouettes around sunsets ablaze. I think that's just, I love this. Your little words that mean something. I like that you let us laugh or allow us to think what it means. And I do miss your voice, though. Oh, I miss your voice. Not that pretty bird, you now have a gorgeous, beautiful voice, but you have a totally different voice than Gonzo's. I just, you know, he just writes, and he just makes you want to go, okay, I can see that. Quelling questions of chaotic insight, promises to have create celestial light. Okay, well, let me think about that one for a minute. All right, yeah, okay, I can think about that. Burying emotion is knee-deep in lie. Lie definitely eats away at everything. Undoubtedly becomes one's master, cancerous grief gratified, secrets encouraged, the black shot. I mean, there's so much imagery about, you know, dying and eating and just sucking it up and doing that. And then you get into God is the rain gifting all things life. There's just all of that in that. And it just makes me go back and go, oh, okay, yeah, all right, let me go back and think about that. Oh, wait, that line totally strikes me this way and that way. And you know, so if you're looking for, you know, you have to read this and absorb this way and that way. But I just really, the whole knee-deep in a lie, and then to come back with the other stanza, and God is the rain gifting all things life. I think those, contrasting those two, that stanza and the following stanza, just really makes me go, oh, whoa, that's heavy. You know, like I'm Santana from another decade, but it does make me do that. Really cool, Gonzo, really like it. Rackage, what are your thoughts?
Oh, he dropped. Oh, he's called back. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
we lost you there for a second. How you doing?
Yeah, I missed half of it. My phone glitched on me. Sorry, Gonzo. All
right, Pretty Bird. First of all, I don't know that I have ever read a form from Gonzo. Not that I have read them extensively. I tend to usually listen as I go, and I'm just more enthralled with all the goings on in the recordings because he's quite intricate and entertaining. So this is a glossa. I'm assuming it's a glossa. It looks like a glossa. I am not all, you know, well-versed in the, you know, millions of form possibilities. But that's where you have an open quatrain, and each line kind of punctuates the verse that follows in order, and so that was lovely. I liked the alliteration. It was it helped with the flow. It kind of rolled off the tongue. It wasn't
it wasn't something that made me trip over it, which is nice, because sometimes there's so much in there that it kind of makes you do somersaults instead of just, you know, wonderful fancy gymnastics. It is a little bit abstract, but if you break it down to lines or a couple of lines, there's something like this line. Shadowed amongst mindless chatter, bearing emotions, knee-deep in lie, with lie being L-Y-E. You know, as anybody who's ever heard me speak, I am very black and white, honesty, lies of omission are still lies, yada, yada, blah, 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 I am who I am. And so this was a very profound pairing for me because, you know, when you stand back a little and everybody's talking at you and that kind of nonsense that I mentioned last time where it's just everybody's just polite chatter, all the little small talk that doesn't matter and nobody really cares about it, it doesn't touch on anything, it doesn't belie any uncomfortable truth, and it's almost nauseating to when you think of how much of that you hear just on the outskirts or how much of it you take part in, but because it's just easier. And then to follow that with you kind of sucking down your own emotions, you know, knee deep in lie, where it will chemically burn your sweaty skin and everything is sweaty because I live in Florida, or it burns your tongue or your throat or whatever as it touches words, and it's just very visceral and very visual and very painful and in my view very honest and an excellent observation of human existence, you know. And he follows that a couple of lines later with crafting cancerous grief gratified. You know, you can't help how things bore into your essence. You don't want to be bothered most of the time by the things you're bothered by. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a bother, you know? As they kind of eat you alive a little bit unwillingly through those chemical burns and nonsense, there is a certain, I hate that word, gratification, because it sounds wrong, but it's so right. Because there is a comfort in our discomfort. And I have said this a million times. Pain, to me, is the only pure emotion out there. Any kind of pain it keeps all of its promises. It will always hurt. It never promises to leave you in any sense of normal time, so it doesn't break that promise, but it will always hurt. It is not tempered by anything else. Love can be painful or joyful, and anger can be based in love. It, everything's a jumbled mess of crap. The pain is pure. And there's a certain comfort in that it never lets you down. And so grief gratified is freaking beautiful to me. It is a beautiful depiction of that jumbled mess of crap that we have to wade through every moment of every day if we just stop and think about it, which most of us, if anybody's like me, and I like to think that I'm not that abnormal, we do our best not to think about it because we can't help but think about it because, you know, sometimes our brains just are our own worst enemies. So I know I only dwelled on the one verse, but there are a lot of verses, and I talk way too much, so I'm going to shut up. But I kind of really love that.
You don't talk too much, and I love the way you do things. I love it. I think it's beautiful. Yeah, we're good. I think we're going to roll on with the poem I picked for Joe, and I'm going to read that, and then I've got the next one up, and I think we only have one more after that. Just kind of going through that. So
I have you to double check on me. I think we have Phil the Poet to end it out. Pretty Bird, I don't think there's any more.
And are we meeting Deb, or is she calling?
I think Deb took a poem out, didn't she? I didn't see it.
I'm looking. Oh. All right, then. I'm all excited.
She was going to, I was too. She was going to call in, and then her voice kind of gave out, so she wasn't able to.
Oh, yeah, please don't push it. Yes. Heal.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I was excited too, but her voice just isn't quite there yet. So I got all excited, but she did send me a note, and I talked to her a bit, and unfortunately, she's just not quite there, and I told her we love her, and she loves us, and so we're not going to push it. But
absolutely,
she's out there on the board. She's listening, and we love her, and please get well. So I'm going to read a Joe's in chains, and this is To Dance After Broken. Wildflowers in twining of satin and cotton white knots of pearls, slung over shoulder sunbeams as I dance merrily in cascades of the not-so-evergreen. Sparkling snowdrops and storms misty sleeves across meadows of unharvested barley. Reddish fays underskirts of dying tulips, melodic sighs anchoring verse of platonic lullabies out in the cold. When honeysuckle and marsh marigolds drippings like ice, in symphony sultan of swing in the valley of lily springs. Pressed in hand, folded petals across maiden's fairest skin growing old. End poem. I really like this. It's like, you know, I have this beauty, and yet it freezes in my hand, and I have this gorgeousness, but it's not quite there. And it's just a weaving of beauty and darkness, beauty and darkness, beauty and darkness. It's like I have it on the tip of my fingers, but it's just not quite, like marsh marigolds dripping like ice. Like I have this perfect flower, but the edges of it are brittle and cold, or, you know, pressed in hand, folded petals across maiden's fairest skin growing old. Like, you've had the most fairest and beautiful skin, but it's wrinkled and it's old, and you're a beautiful maiden, but, you know, that's what you used to be, but now this is what you are. You know, frozen lilies in a field. All this beautiful warmth and all of these feels, this coldness. I think it's just out of reach of what you want and what you feel. It's like your fingertips are warm and the rest of your body is frozen. It's very interesting, right, Joe? And racking toward your thoughts.
Yeah, that duality that you speak of, you know, the idea, the vision of it, but just not being able to grasp it or metaphorically achieve it, you know, that comes through in this wonderfully. You know, that there's a, like you say, there's a definite beauty throughout this that she's reaching for, but, you know, it's kind of frozen in place almost, that you know, you can't quite wrap your arms around it. In a wonderfully relatable way, you know, I enjoy her writing very much. It's a great piece, Joe.
And Pretty Bird.
You know, I'm used to a more dire darkness from Joe, which she always does beautifully. And this was a little faster and equally pained, and whether it is a friendship that is no longer or the distance between who we were and who we are, there is a sadness that hoping that those pieces return, there is such beauty in her metaphoric description
you know, as I stand snarly in cascades of the not so evergreen, where, you know, in the spring of life versus the winter, when sparkly snowdrops and storms misty sleeves across meadows of unharvested barley, that verse, if we're talking the seasons of life, as you go from spring to winter, as the first snows of fall and places where it snows start coming in. Snow kind of kills things, as beautiful as it is, and so as it's starting to fall on meadows of unharvested barley, those are unreached dreams, things that seeds of ideas, of hope that never grew to fruition, that never became all they promised to be, and it's heartbreaking. And when you get down here to the bottom, where, you know, in the valley of rose flows, where they will always be beautiful, and then they are pressed and hand-folded petals across maiden's fair skin going old, what a beautiful way to talk about the passage of time and ghost smile lines or life lines, because, you know, smiles do not cause furrows. But time is a graceful process, regardless of how ungracious we are in accepting that. And it's, there's just so much between the youth and the disillusion of the hope of what the future holds versus the reality of what was lived, and, you know, those things that never fade when you're young all of a sudden are not so evergreen. And this is quite stunning and an excellent choice. I haven't read the other one. That was the other option, but this is beautiful.
Absolutely.
And Lee is in the studio. He's got a SoundCloud.
Lee, right?
It's a, yeah, let me grab it.
Lee. Where are they here? Okay, now I can't find Lee. What the hell is going on with Lee?
He is.
Let me see.
He is down here. I got him. Just say one.
Okay, thank you. Oh, there he is. I just saw him at the last second.
Are you hitting it or am I?
Oh, I got it.
Perfect symphony. Rustling wind in the trees, you speak of ancient songs. You sing of life and passing time and the light that music longs. Steady does the music play with each sweep of life's baton, and the cadence beats a heavy drum as the song plays on and on. The measure of our life is played in concert with advancing time, a cadenza in our chosen key, each line a scale to climb. Spread before the tree of life, embattled though oft it be, its twisted roots and canopy merge earth and sky and sea. Sweet music is this harmony of time and life's embattled tree, too soon to play the elegy that ends this perfect symphony.
Wow. That's pretty heavy. Pretty Bird, what did you think?
I think he almost sounded like the voice of God. That reverb and that recording was It kind of sounded like omniscient. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting words. My brain is not working. Narration of the beauty of life, and you know when it, and I love musical metaphors and all things. So you know, kudos and fabulous. And that voice just is amazing. But when he goes through, starting with the wind and going through the music, where it is, you know, sometimes life is hard, and sometimes as it goes, you wear those scars, but they're all beautiful. And this tree that is quite lovely, and by all the look of it is half dead, but it's a beautiful tree. It is, he kind of goes through this whole expanse of life between its roots and its canopy, and just bridging the earth and the sky, and visually it's stunning. And I cannot help but equate that with, you know, finding a place at like you know, people, a place to call home, to settle into things while still being strong enough to reach for those stars. And it's kind of the hope of everyone to find something on that scale, to be safe enough with feet that are firm enough to keep you safe, and giving enough to let you grow. And it's just a beautifully done metaphor. And I'm not a outdoorsy girl, because that's where the critters live, but he has a beautiful poetic vision of the world, and I absolutely love the way he writes.
I do too. And that's kind of what I my comment is, like a refuge to dream, a colorful world to live, and a place to lay your head. You know, that's how I felt. It was just his refuge, you know, a place to come home, but this colorful world, this place where you always know where your roots are. No matter what happens outside the world, this is where your roots were. So I kind of saw the poem the same way you did. It's where your life is, but the ability to grow outside of it, to always come back to your roots. He always wows me and amazes me. I love the last two lines, too soon to play its eulogy, that ends this perfect symphony. She's one that's stayed on this earth for hundreds of years. And I hate to see it when they die or when they're burned or anything like that. It's a massive sorrow for me. I know Sky talks about how much she loves trees, but I'm just right there with her. And this is just a tribute to just one tree, and it makes it the center of the universe, and I really, really enjoyed that. Bracken Tour, a quick comment from you, or a long one, doesn't matter, just let me know.
that last line intrigues me more than anything, because, you know, the idea, too soon to play the eulogy, it could mean that it died too soon, or that he's not ready to go. I prefer to think of it as the latter, but, you know, my mind is warped and twisted, and I could be entirely missing the whole preamble to that led up to it. But you know, I mean, you know, life throws shit at you, but, you know, you do what you got to do to get through it. And, you know, I ain't done yet. That's kind of what I got from it. I thought it was beautiful.
Absolutely. So I am going to say all my thank yous to
Pretty Bird, Rock and Tour. Thank you very much for always being here for me. I couldn't do this without you. I literally could not do this without you too. Sky, thank you. Wayne Jet, thank you. AP, I always appreciate you guys jumping in and showing up. Kay, Joe, we are all Gonzo. Gerald, Phil the Poet, Lee, and Frank, everybody that wrote for me tonight, you guys are awesome and wonderful. And we are going to end the show with the powerful and powerful presence of Phil the Poet. And we are also going to end with Pink's In My Attic. And I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. You guys are wonderful and great. So let's end the show with Phil the Poet, and then we'll roll into Pink's My Attic. Well, first we'll get comments for Phil.
This is a poem.
All right. Blog talk. Oh, what, you're going to have to push that for me. You know what? I just did it myself out of blog talk.
Okay.
I hit the little X button on my bar.
What is it with you and boots?
I don't know. I like my boots.
Here we go. You ready?
Here we go. Yep.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Attic. The attic has so many memories in dust-covered boxes, ready to be revealed, climbing the ladder into a world that time has forgotten, sustained in animated suspension until a box is opened. And I see missed loved ones smiling as I step into the photograph. Everything becomes real as we remember the fun, the tears, the time and place that this hidden gem now shares. Opening another box, I find that my childhood's returned, as toys lie broken with the use of too much playing. I pick up a drawing of matchstick people with large oblong heads, holding hands, and in multicolored crayon are the words Daddy, Mummy, Martin, Me. Tears come running down as I reminisce of a happier time, locked away in the past, in a small, damp attic. End poem.
That was absolutely stunning. I love Bill. Tears come running down as I reminisce of a happier time locked away in the past in a small damp attic. There are a lot of things that to make people happy in the attic. Pictures. I know when my father-in-law passed, we found a chest of pictures that went back. Well, he passed when he was 92, so it wouldn't be surprising that we found pictures that were almost 100 years old of his childhood. And these pictures are just stunning. These portraits of, they're just gorgeous. And my mother-in-law, these people, she's like, oh, that was his grandfather, and that was his mother, and the man passed at 92. But these portraits were like in the early or late 1800s or early 1900s, and they were just wonderful to look at and lovely to see, and the stories. And you just early photography, and some of the stuff you were able to look at and see, and it was just lovely. And I really enjoyed it. And my dogs are like, yep, it's time to go to bed. Let's go to bed now. But yeah, I can see that. That's really fun. It's 10 o'clock and we're like, we're going to go outside now. Watching this and doing that is great. Back in tour, your thoughts, please.
Oh, man. I'm with Remington. I loved the way he writes, and the dust-covered boxes that you have stored in your attic, perfect metaphor for the memories of things, touching daddy, the crayon, the pictures with the crayons, you know, the those mementos that you keep that will always stay with you. I mean, it's just, it was touching. It was lovely. Great ride, Phil.
And since your dog is a wee bit boisterous, but Andres wants to sing, you're going to say Pretty Birds, and I'm going to let him up. So,
yeah, it was just pressing the mute button.
I figured he was still talking, so, you know, he's a little loud. There is something to be said for walking us through the nostalgia and that state of suspended animation, but his line, everything becomes real. And there's something to be said. And I was a little amiss to learn that not everybody remembers things the same. And I don't mean like details of memories. I mean, they don't delve into feelings the same way. Everybody, you know, feels a certain whatever. They get a certain level of sad, but not everybody relives the moment as it was in full emotional bliss or pain or anger. If I am reading something I wrote and I was pissed off, that's going to be a very angry poem, even if I'm not angry right now. And people that are anywhere near me right now, I need to warn them that I am in a mood. Let me, you know, decompress, because it brings you back to that moment. And so everything becomes real, you know. And when you go to those memories of a vacation by the water or in the snow, or when you see a picture of you at 5 years old with your grandma, and all these things that some memories have faded but some haven't, the good, the bad, the ugly, they all are valued and dear. And it's not easy to go through pictures, much less all of the things that remind you of the milestones of your life, because we can't keep everything forever. And so the things that we choose to keep are the things that matter most, or that held the strongest ties to the memory of it. And so it's a powerful, powerful thing. And he's got that gentle voice, you know, and opening another box, I find my childhood has returned. How beautiful is that? And there's a certain longing in that reminiscence, longing for youth or yesteryear or loved ones, for just for the briefest moment to gaze upon them again. And it just fills the air as you read this. And it's a lovely way to close the show, by the way, to kind of wrap us up in that warm and almost melancholy place of the truth of what we hold in those boxes, whether they are literal boxes in an actual attic or those little card catalogs of thoughts in our minds. The memories are just as strong. The experiences are just as real. And the words that have tied it all together here are just as lovely.
Wow, it is. And your comment, it rocks.
What?
I said your comment rocks.
Oh, thank you.
That was awesome. Thank you for being here. Rack, I know you just hung up, but thank you. I went away. Pre-Bird, I cannot do this without you 1,000 times over. I love you guys, everybody. I'm going to say goodnight. Once again,
good
thank
night,
you.
Goodnight. I and, love you back.
I'm happiest. So, goodnight, everybody. Listen to the sounds of the beautiful pink. If I can find her. I know where she is. Just got to get down there. Back into my studio. Yay. Okay. We're going to listen to her. I promise her. I promise. I'm not going to listen to her.
Are you ready?
There
or
we
you
go.
Want me to hit it?
Okay. I got it.
Thanks, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My attic is full of pages, full of crazy cluttered spaces that you could not cross. My attic is full of bones and full of hope of young emotions that just won't grow up. I keep hiding the keys in all these places even I can't find. Numbers can't begin to calculate.